Welcome back to the Atlantic Hour.
Welcome back.
We're doing a spin-off series this semester.
Season two.
I am James, your renowned host. And with me is...
Eva.
And Tom.
Who are my co-hosts.
Yes, sir. It's a three-man show now.
Do you guys want to say a bit about yourselves?
Tom, do you want to go first?
No, I don't. my name's Tom. I'm 21 and I'm from London.
Oh, you've changed.
I'm more confident now.
Nothing's changed about me. I'm still from London.
Great. So the premise of the show is we are going to be discussing America's role as a world power. Obviously, we've got a new president in place. This week, we're going to discuss Trump's inauguration and what his first 100 days in office could look like. And in future episodes, we'll probably look at America, as the name suggests, but in terms of its role with foreign policy and some of the decision making that Trump is likely to make. So without further ado, let's kick off for this week. So let's talk about the inauguration.
What a great time for America. I mean, I think we can talk about, I know we talked a bit about before, you want to talk about immigration and what he said in his inaugural speech.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you have a clip of that.
I have a clip about DEI, but not about immigration per se. Yeah.
Well, he made a lot of claims, made a lot of bold statements, which I think...
Which he never normally does.
No, it's very out of character for him. Putting on my jumper.
For context, yeah. He was
sorry, that wasn't me. Like
putting on a sweater. Right?
Yeah, sorry.
Yes, he made a comment about massively restricting immigration at this, particularly the southern border, and then that was followed up in the first week of his time in the executive office with ICE, the immigration force, having crackdowns that and being able to extend their jurisdiction in areas that they previously weren't able to. So you've got places like community areas and churches was a big one where they are able to come in and forcibly try and remove people in ways that they hadn't before.
I think so. His target was 10 million. Am I correct in saying that?
Let me look
I think
that
he
up.
Said he wanted to deport. I think he wanted to get back to his first term. I think that he wanted to deport everyone who had come in during the Biden administration, and I think he's currently deported maybe 1,000 people a day.
There's been quite a lot of fight back from it, because obviously the whole news was that Colombia sending the planes back.
Yes.
So international community not massive fan.
Yeah. But I think deporting 1,000, that's only 7,000 a week, only.
Yeah.
In terms of his grand scheme. So I think he would have to amp up his deportation measures if he wanted to reach the 10 million goal. But I'm not, that could be, I think I went
That's early doors, you know, give him time.
Yeah, I know, anything could happen.
Exactly.
All right, so what I've got here is that in the first week, the Trump team sent 1,500 troops to the southern border. And they...
Suspense. James collects his evidence.
They had... on Wednesday, the 22nd of January, they arrested 308 people across the country. September 2024, the last month for which data is available, ICE arrested 282 immigrants per day. It doesn't have anything here about Trump's target.
Okay.
And they've started all this in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago's been the place where they've done a crackdown.
So obviously, the more it moves further south, the more they're going to get.
Yes. Especially on the US-Mexican border.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do you think it's achievable? If we say 10 million, you've obviously pulled that number out somewhere.
Well, I don't know, Tom. You're the one who makes predictions.
Just because
Just to recap last series, Tom made a prediction that Trump would win the election and he'd also win the popular vote.
No, I said he wouldn't. I wasn't right. I don't take credit for my
Was half right. Yeah. So basically, we think that Tom is either cursed or blessed.
Yeah, I've been blamed for manifesting
Manifest destiny. So I think you can go forth and make predictions, but at your own peril and at the country's own peril.
I don't really want to make predictions about
deportation. Okay, maybe not predictions. Do you think it's achievable? I think anything's achievable under the Trump administration.
That's a good point. But yeah, of course it's achievable. I mean, whether, like, I guess the whole point of it is if every country starts pushing back against it, if every country, like Colombia, goes, actually, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, and sort of, you know, Trump goes, well, I'm going to put tariffs on Colombia. Well, they go, okay, well, we'll put tariffs on America.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
If that's sort of the international response.
And that, in terms, will harm American public.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, if every country in South America, which is where the US gets lots of its stuff, starts imposing, like, have tariffs on them or impose tariffs on America, it's going to get a lot more expensive. So I think obviously it's possible, but I think maybe the way it's being handled with now, sort of this very brute force approach, yeah. Which is...
There we go, Trump to deport over 10 million.
Yeah, which is coming from...
He wants to use military power.
So it's obviously this approach that's obviously coming from his massive popularity right now. He feels like he can pretty much do anything, and the whole of sort of the Western world is sort of being very nice to him.
And so just to give a little bit of background, the reason why there are a lot of undocumented immigrants in America is because when they go to court and they get their status, only 15% actually achieve official status as, like, being recognized in the US. And so if you have those statistics and you say only I have a 50% chance, you can see why a lot of undocumented people go undocumented. And it also comes from Trump's myth that a higher rate of immigration leads to a higher rate of crime and a higher rate of danger. Mm. And obviously we know Trump has a tendency to over-exaggerate and also just fabricate. So that kind of explains his policies, which I think is kind of an important part of this.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
It says here that there's currently 14 million... undocumented people in the United States. Mm. And just for context, that one in 15 American families have mixed status, which means that either, like, a relative, maybe your parent, grandparent, doesn't have, US citizenship. And the argument made is that this policy has the ability to break up millions of people's families.
Yeah, I know.
Shocking. So.
What can you do? I don't know. But I also think this is sort of leads us onto the whole birthright citizenship claim. Do you think it's a good segue? America's unique in the fact that everyone born, or anyone born in the US, immediately gets American citizenship.
Yes.
Like our good friend James here. He somehow managed to smuggle his way in.
It's due to an amendment because of, like, it's a due to an amendment after the Civil War, isn't it? Because obviously in the original Constitution, black people were 3/5 of a person.
Yeah.
So to change that, instead of, as they amended the Constitution, they basically made it anyone born in the US was a citizen. Mm. So obviously amending the Constitution is very difficult, and no one's been able to do it since the 80s.
Yeah. Well, I think Trump's definitely trying to...
He's trying to get one. Well, he's a few, because he also wants to... He also wants to amend the term limits.
Yes. Mm. So, you know, this could go on for a while. But anyway, so Trump is trying to seek to end birthright citizenship for American-born children of undocumented immigrants. Thoughts, feelings?
Well, I think it'd be very difficult because even though Trump, you could argue, controls a majority of the Supreme Court, it's pretty black and white in the Constitution. Like, I know it's always up to interpretation, that's the whole point of the Supreme Court, but It's a fairly difficult one. It seems like something that will sort of get battered down quite quickly, and he might make a fuss
about it.
Yeah,
so there was a federal judge who immediately took this out and said it was unconstitutional. Yeah. Because of the fact that the 14th Amendment allows anyone born in the country to be a US citizen, and the argument is that's endemic to what the US is about.
Yeah.
Especially after the complex history and legacy it's had with slavery, and almost a massive sway that 11% of the population who are African American have citizenship as a result of that amendment. So it's almost the fact that he would want to challenge some of this stuff, I think, is just for shock factor, to try and make people say,
yeah, it's going, I did this, but they said I couldn't, you know. Exactly. It's not, I think
that
it's a promise
part
that
of his personality and his style of leadership is to test the boundaries of the American system, and we can see that he's done that at every level. And I think if he thinks he can get away with something, he's going to try. But the argument is there haven't been many checks in place up until now. But there are some hard lines in the American Constitution that if he runs up against, he might not be able to cross. And I think that's an example of this.
Well, it depends on what she tries to change the Constitution.
But I think it's more of like he said so much stuff over the campaign, so much stuff that like he's got to throw just some of it at the wall and go like, I promised to end birthright citizenship on day one. I did it. But
he also promised to end the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, that's going to take more time, apparently.
Goodness me, what a liar.
He got the ceasefire, but I think that was sort of a joint effort between him and
Biden. Yeah, that wasn't solely an American. I think there were talks of it before
Qataris
as
well.
Yeah. Well, I think also we had to be careful in terms of speaking about whether how much is a shock factor and how much he actually wants or believes. Because I think people can look at his, you know, especially his inaugural address, and say, oh, he's not going to do half of these things. But then when he actually does them, it's like, I think we have to kind of take seriously some of his claims, even though for a lot of people he is a public joker.
Yeah, but he's just said so much stuff. Like, I just think he's...
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Like, I think he probably has... I'm not giving him that much credit, but I think he probably does have set goals. He does want to achieve. I think, obviously, mass immigration is... mass deportation, sorry, is
when
one
I mean shock, I mean more the fact that, not in terms of the fact that he wants to almost make the American people taken aback and like alarm them or heighten their sensitivities. I mean more the fact that he wants to stress test the American government.
Yeah.
And I think the more ambitious his goals, the more he's able to see where loyalties lie, see how much the Republican Party is actually behind him. And that's been the case with a lot of his nominations as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
A lot of people who Republicans would not have, Republican senators, were they in his position, would not have backed necessarily. They are backing because it's Trump and because they realize that unity is strength.
Yes.
Well, if you listen to his, like, the 3-hour Joe Rogan interview he did before the thing, like, a lot of that is him basically talking about how he didn't feel like he had the right people around him. Like, I think he went very traditional in his
first
term.
It's fine, he's fired all of them now.
Well, yeah, so he went very traditional in his first term, and obviously this term he's gone very unconventional with almost all of his nominations.
Yeah.
So, again, I think that adds to your, like, stress testing of just being like, let's just add a bunch of people who just basically believe what I believe, who are part of my sort of cult of personality.
Mm.
And then we'll see how far we can get. I feel like a few of them will drop off just because of how he is.
Mm.
But like a lot of them managed to get confirmed, though. That Pete Hesketh guy managed to get in. He's the first. He got off in on for vice off the vice president. It was split 50-50. I think he's the first one in a very long time.
Really?
To get that, yeah. To get J.D. Vance's vote as the deciding one.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay. I think also, if we do a little segue into foreign policy, but touching on how much of it is a shock factor. There's a really good article in the New York Times, I can't remember who wrote it, but it was saying how Trump's claims to invade Greenland and the Panama Canal and possibly Canada, they're not a joke. And that even though he might be using kind of these bold claims for attention, we have to take them seriously.
Was it the New York Times or the Washington Post said he should do it? It was one of those two.
Really?
I'm sure the New York Times wouldn't have said that.
Maybe.
Well, I guess Washington Post is Bezos, isn't it?
So it
might have been.
But yeah, I think we need to be slightly careful. Because if you look at the history of America and American expansionism, they're constantly trying to find new frontiers to economic development. And especially with Greenland, it's seen as not just a military base, but strategic strategy, especially during climate change.
And it's got a lot of the world's natural resources, 40% of natural gas or something ridiculous. It's very profitable as well.
But he's using bullying tactics. The president of Denmark has said people of Denmark don't want to become.
People of Greenland.
People of Greenland don't want to become US citizens. And I think he has no kind of care for their autonomy and their kind of rights, yeah. I guess.
I think that, especially looking at where Greenland is, it's kind of, the Trump mindset is ownership, right? And a level of autonomy in the decision making that he himself is able to make, but I feel like he has kind of blurred the line between his actions and what he believes the country then deserves.
Mm-hmm.
So he sees America as entitled to these privileges.
Yeah, America built the Panama Canal or helped them. Yeah. Like, but it's like us saying Britain like built the Suez
America's,
Canal. Yeah.
America's position should entitle them to have autonomy and control over the Arctic, and he sees Greenland as almost some natural right that America has had that hasn't been exploited. And if something's there to exploit, Trump will exploit it.
But what I think we need to point out is if Trump takes Greenland, what is going to stop China from taking Taiwan, Russia from taking Ukraine? He's basically saying, oh, it's all right, because we're going to take Greenland. It's setting a precedent. It's like he's very hypocritical. He's criticised China's eyes on Taiwan and with Putin on Ukraine. It's hypocritical. He can't say you can't take these countries whilst also saying I'm not going to stop at anything to take Greenland.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, he did also do this last term, and nothing ever came of it.
True.
And I guess, I remember last time he was offering to buy it. I don't know if he said he's going to buy it this time. But, it seems very reminiscent of just, two situations in British history, which are the Suez Canal and the Falklands. Ultimately, both those situations, obviously,
didn't
Falklands...
Well,
it didn't go well, but, the Falklands... Ultimately, the people of the Falklands wanted to be British if the people of Greenland wanted to be Danish. That's their prerogative.
Exactly.
And then, obviously, with the Suez Canal, it's in Egypt. Egypt nationalised it, and you sort of have to, obviously... We did a war over it, but we lost that war.
Poor Anthony Eden.
So take a lesson from that, America.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're going to take a lesson from us at all.
Yeah.
But I also think in terms of the Panama Canal, his claims are based off kind of false accusations that Panama has ceded control of the Panama Canal to China.
Yeah.
Which is obviously, it's not true. And he says we need to take back control. He said that we didn't give the Panama Canal to China. We need to take back control, and they see it as their own right, I guess. And it's begs the question, what's America's rights over these?
Thanks characters? For throwing that one out there.
Sorry, yeah, go on.
What is America's rights?
What are America's rights?
Yeah.
Left James speechless.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
I mean, it's right to govern themselves, isn't it? And that's where it's difficult with Greenland. They don't want to be governed by America, so should they? Probably not.
The problem is that the era of American imperialism was meant to be done in the 20th century, but Trump is trying to revive an America that potentially isn't fit for.
I think it's a leitmotif throughout kind of their history. I think they've always been trying to expand.
Yeah.
Even to Mars.
Even to Mars. They're going to put the American flag on Mars, guys. So if you plan on doing a trip there.
But I think it's so, like, nationalist language. Like, the whole, like... Like, you sort of go, like, oh, he's threatening Panama Canal. That's bad. He's talking about Greenland. That's bad. He wants to change the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, yeah. And to change the name of one of the... He's changed the name of a mountain as well. And it's like, this is, like, if these are... If we're grouping all these together, I kind of don't take them as seriously. Because, like... You're just changing the names of the, this is just PR basically. Like I feel like I think he says a lot of stuff. Like, again, I just listened to the Joe Rogan interview. I thought it was quite interesting. Like, he says to Joe Rogan, he's obsessed with conspiracy theories. He's like, you're gonna release the stuff on Kennedy and aliens, and he goes,
he goes,
I'll probably do that, and then did it, but like he did it because he could. But, like, it's...
What was the verdict on Kennedy?
I don't know. I don't know if it's been released yet, but...
Right.
Apparently he's unsealing the documents about Kennedy.
Mm.
But it's like, I think he'll say things in the moment to make people feel happy. And if he can do them, he'll do them. But I feel like stuff like taking over Greenland or the Panama Canal are just a bit... Like, renaming the Gulf of Mexico
it's
to the Gulf of America...
It's not going to do
anything. It could happen. Like, well, it's going to happen. Apparently Google are changing it in the next update. But, It's just
really?
It's just a name.
That's wild.
I read that this morning. It could not be true, but apparently it is going to change. But it's not real. Like it's not actually taking over something. I feel like once it comes, like push comes to shove, I've said this about a lot of things he said, but like and he has done some of them. But it's like I just don't feel like buying Greenland or taking over the Panama Canal is something that he will conceivably do. And it just seems like a lot of work for a sort of very nationalist goal.
I think you've touched on an interesting point, which is Trump is someone who thinks very much in the short term.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even though he's not running for re-election this time, in terms of cementing a legacy, he wants to be seen as the person who enabled almost a positive outcome for America within a 4-year span, to the point where people feel like their lives will be so much better under him than they were under another president. Paradoxically, I'm not sure he has that much care for the American people per se.
I think it's all just a self-obsessed kind of...
Exactly.
It's all about him, basically.
And so you've got that kind of dichotomy of Trump is trying to say America first, we're going to make America great again, but all of this stuff is self-aggrandizing.
Yeah.
And it's also for a very select group of people.
Exactly. Mm. And I just before we wrap up, I do want to touch on the fact that at the inauguration, he was pictured with 3 of the most powerful men in the country who have previously been shunned from government.
Yeah.
And I think that speaks very much to the fact that he's got that almost element of illusion where it's like, I'm protecting the American people, but he's trying to protect his people.
Yeah, and just talking of the people, we can talk about gender. I think
pull up that
James the little clip. Oh, why are you so tired?
Near race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only 2 genders, male and female.
Tom's crying.
Yes, dead.
It's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone from the military.
And a lot of companies have followed through on this.
Yeah, so basically he is saying that whichever biological sex you were born with, that's it. You can't, there's no room for change. Mm-hmm. So that in turn is going to harm a lot of transgender communities, and we've already seen that in terms of the military. So there was some awful language used, and I can't remember what, but he was like, basically transgender people will not be allowed in the military, and they have to be assigned based on the sex it was done at birth. Mm-hmm. So even if you identify as a woman, if you were born a male, you are a male in terms of military standards. Mm-hmm. I think that is a kind of leading on. He doesn't care about the well-being of the citizens of the United States. He just cares about kind of conforming to traditional values. And
I think he cares about appealing to the people who he appeals to, and obviously those people, the people who don't believe in more genders.
Oh dear.
Well, also, it's again, Trump is an instigator, and I think he saw the war on woke culture as something that excited his base.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. And so this is something to
shock people.
Also, we did it last also time. Now that you've got a mandate and a victory, I feel like he's far more emboldened than he was 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he could say and do things now that he couldn't before. And I feel like this is something that very much plays at the base, is going to get him a lot of approval in the short term.
Yeah.
And I think it's all about easy wins for this guy, right? So in order to say something like that and have the optics and have the media latch onto it, he loves the attention. And he knew that saying something like this would bring forward the attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's his first, like, the whole point of the first week of presidency is to basically just say everything you'll never be more popular.
The fact that he also followed this up by going to Capital One Arena, signing executive orders, and throwing the Sharpies out into the crowd like it was
like a darts player.
Yeah, it was like he's like a musician at a concert kind of thing.
And then declaring that Biden would never do something like this.
Biden was like a serious politician.
Biden's like an evil ex. It's like he's trying to like get as far away from it as possible. And it's like, I don't want anything to do with him anymore. On a reverse everything he ever did to me in our country kind of thing.
He didn't cover himself in glory at the end, though, did he? Just pardoning every member of his family just in case.
Yeah.
Well, it's nothing compared to the amount.
Then Trump pardoned 1,500 people just... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, he's president.
What do we think about that, the January 6th?
What, in general? Or?
I mean,
the pardons.
A lot of them committed crimes. Yeah, we knew it was going to happen. Well, he didn't say it. He always hinted at it. He sort of said, obviously self-politicianship. It's like, we'll have a look and I didn't really see do all of them. I think apart from, I think there's a few that have already been convicted and, a few who were violent.
Well, that's, I think, is... Because one of the key aspects of American ideology is that it's a country of progress. And part of that progress is through elections, so it's a peaceful transfer of power. I don't think anything about the January 6th riots shows that there was any peaceful transfer of power. So it's kind of rewriting American ideology and rewriting American identity under Trump, which I think is slightly terrifying.
And a lot of the Democrats have said this is something which is inherently abhorrent. It goes against the very nature of the principles of democracy.
It does.
Yeah. And the irony was, doing it where they were taking over,
I know. Oh dear.
Again, though, I think that for Democrats now, they have to realise that saying these things doesn't matter.
Yeah, they don't
matter. The American people have proven they're pragmatists at heart.
Yeah.
And they don't need to hear about the fact that Trump made these pardons, because at the end of the day, they just care about what their bank accounts could look like next week.
Preach. I was trying to find an article, but I think there was some article that's talked about how we should stop just talking about Trump and what he's going to do.
It's quite difficult.
I know, not in terms of just
in general. End of the podcast, guys.
Stop talking about him. But in terms of should stop.
This is now a Molly May podcast.
It's you're behind it all. Would recommend. And just in terms of adding fuel to the fire.
I don't know how I feel about that's the one plug we've done this week.
What, Molly May?
Yeah.
What about her?
I feel like we should
Molly May, if you want to come on the podcast.
Okay.
Advertising something more serious.
Yeah.
What would you like to advertise?
Trump watches.
do you want Trump to listen to? I don't think.
Oh, we should all buy Trump's cryptocurrency, guys. That's what we should. Trump coin. That's what we need to be going
Trump
for.
Trump coin.
He's going for the meme coin.
We can make some merch as well, which will be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, moving on. End.
Yes.
Elon Musk. He's sort of been the centre of most.
Before we do wrap up, we should, just really quickly talk about, as I was saying, some of these figures. So Zuckerberg, Musk, and Bezos, who are now almost an extension to Cabinet.
Yeah, they're falling very much behind him. Zuckerberg's got rid of all the fact checkers on
Facebook.
There's
talk that they're even thinking about buying property in Washington, D.C. to be close to the president.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. That's what lobbies do.
That's, I think, quite a alarming.
It's like a friendship group.
Where the country is at right now in terms of, obviously, like 100 years ago with Teddy Roosevelt trying to break up trusts and these like big money men and monopolies.
Yeah.
Like the tech monopolies are the new trusts.
Yeah.
And the fact that Trump's welcoming them in with open arms and then calling it a golden age of America. I think that the duality of like arguing, is this a golden age of America or is this another gilded age of America where corruption's just...
I think there's going to be a lot of corruption. I think in about 20 years we're going to read a lot of books about this and it's going to be absolutely mental.
Yeah.
It does seem like they were all like Tim Cook.
America stood on the precipice and chose the road left. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. I also think in terms of... I mean, we haven't talked about TikTok. Which is obviously the...
We'll get on to that next week.
Okay.
Apparently Mike...
silenced. I'm not allowed to speak about TikTok and Elon Musk, but okay, we'll leave that
Elon Musk did a very bad salute, and I think he knew what he was doing. Do you guys think he knew what he was doing?
We'll leave it on that.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
Next week, we will talk about
TikTok.
AI. Yeah. Which has been penciled in, and we, with more of a global focus, we'll look at China and what DeepSeek will be doing in the AI space. We will also look at Trump's foreign policy more broadly, talking about his actions in both Israel and Palestine and the Russia and Ukraine conflict.
Yeah, also I guess just like what's new. I mean, we've talked about this, he's only been in office for 9 days and there's still so much to talk about, so who knows what could be
really,
this time next
who
week
was Joe Biden?
What could
happen? All right, thank you very much for listening and we will see you then.